Advertising is our business. This is Leafs Nation pregame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Well, the twists and turns that have gone on this Toronto Maple Leaf season, what a doozy it's been this week on the upside. Maple Leafs two wins in a row. Last night, Chicago Blackhawks do the Maple Leafs a big favor, scoring in the waning seconds to defeat the Columbus Blue Jackets. And we got ourselves a hockey game that matters in a big way as the Toronto Maple Leafs take on the Winnipeg Jets tonight at Air Canada Centre. All the action tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and of course every Saturday, Gord Stellick, Rick Natras, we hang here at Air Canada Centre with Leafs Nation pregame for 2 hours, go around the league, 12 games in total, but of course the big focus will be this tilt tonight, and maybe, Rick, the Toronto Blue Jays win, as our listeners just heard over the New York Yankees, and the karma from last night as well, and Boston, it's just what a different vibe than when we sat there Tuesday the morning skate of that Calgary game.
Yeah, and you know, the Calgary game, we were just hoping for a strong effort and certainly match the, you know, the tempo that Calgary brings night in and night out. We didn't really see that, Gord, but we got a win, or the Leafs did, got a win. And then going into Boston, probably, again, a team that, you know, everybody thinks that dominate the Leafs, but they probably play their best hockey against Boston, and no exception the other night. And certainly, you know, the third period looked flashbacks, you know, last spring. But, again, the Leafs pulled it out. Nazem Kadri, you know, playing under 12 minutes, got the big goal.
Well, interesting game as well, as you mentioned. Unlikely heroes, because a guy like Troy Bodie played twice the ice time, almost twice 20, the ice time at Nazem Kadri. But Kadri was out there, got the big goal in overtime. And then James Reimer, who the much maligned James Reimer for the first five games of that losing streak. And I think the, not that he was happy that they lost the next three games, but people here realize that it wasn't just James Reimer. I mean, fans like an easy target, whether it was Larry Murphy years ago or Brian McCabe a few years ago, whoever it might be. And it seemed simple to blame Reimer, but then it didn't change with Bernier back, Bernier out for at least 3 weeks. So it's going to be James Reimer with the fans behind him, so it seems, to ride it out for hopefully these last four games.
Well, again, and you know, again, Gord, I go back to last year. Again, everybody thinks because Bernier came in, it's just, you know, that Reimer can't play net. Leafs felt that they needed a goaltender, in my eyes, that can control the puck better, maybe move the puck better. We see the struggles that the Leaf D have had all year, clearing rebounds, you know, getting back to get pucks. So if you have a goaltender that can move the puck, a goaltender that can control the play, be it deflecting pucks into the screen or freezing them and not allowing any rebounds, that's a conducive to the Leafs, what they need as a goaltender. You talk about Reimer, he battles, he's a quality guy. You talk to anybody, I don't know him personally, but this is a guy that's jumped through a lot of hoops to get to where he is. He had a .924 save percentage. The first 2.5 months of the year, it was Bernier and Reimer, and that's why the Leafs were playing as well as they were, or excuse me, were winning hockey games because of those two individuals. All of a sudden, you know, things, Bernier sort of took over the number one pole, the number one position, and Reimer, when he did get opportunities, is few far between. His goaltending wasn't as superior as it was early in the season. So that first few games of the injury to Bernier on the 8-game slide, he let in a few soft goals. But again, it was the direction, as you said, all the anger was put towards him rather than the inefficiencies of the Leafs in the offensive zone to keep that third guy high, or in the defensive zone to stay on the inside of the opposition. And I think you saw the difference that when Bernier was in, those mistakes were still happening. Unfortunately, you know, for the Leafs, they couldn't overcome that, and they didn't have super, super goaltending, and that's why that 8-game skid it went to 8 games.
Well, and interesting, it could have been, here we go again, the Boston Bruins, a 2-goal lead blown, but this time they went in overtime. Last year it was a 2-goal lead that became a 3-goal lead. It was blown, losing overtime. Now you're talking about a sure playoff spot going by the wayside. So a huge goal to get that win and focus on this game now. And teams, because you played for them, I've been involved in them, when they're mathematically eliminated for the playoffs, like the Winnipeg Jets are now, you never know what you're going to get. You're getting a team, I find, that if things go right, they're loosey-goosey and they'll kill you. Otherwise, if things don't go so right, you got them.
Yeah, and that's it. It's the start, right? Make them want to quit. And this is a team that pretty much was eliminated with the loss of last Thursday they had, or the other day, I should say, a Thursday. And you know, it's a team that's still the identity they're still trying to achieve, that they brought in Paul Maurice. to give them some type of structure they felt they didn't have. All the players are, you know, reaping the rewards early from it. But again, the talent at which they have and the depth which they have came to the forefront to, you know, hinder them again 3 years in a row getting to the playoffs. So any team that's out of the playoffs, Gord, coming into the last, they're playing for their jobs. And they're certainly playing for a contract for next year. So what you have to do is get them early, make them realize that summer's coming around the corner, and get them to buy their tickets for their flights. Because tonight is a Winnipeg Jet team that want to prove to ownership, management, that they all want to be there next year. But again, get on them early and make them feel that the summer's already started.
Well, and we'll get Rick's, of course, keys to the game when we count down to the puck drop. And also, interesting, Paul Maurice, and certainly a popular guy during his time as a head coach here.
Good guy.
Great start with the Winnipeg Jets. They have cooled off considerably of late. He's got a decision to make in the offseason about staying there. But we'll hear from him later on reminiscing about this kind of scenario. Leafs needed to win a game against the Montreal Canadiens. Were behind in that game. The last home game of the season, won it. And then the next day had to wait for the New Jersey Devils New York Islanders game to see how that went, and they got eliminated on that final date. So he's going to, later on we'll hear him reflect on that memory.
Really good guy. I mean, I got to know him a little bit in St. Louis way back when, Gord, talking 25, almost 30 years ago. And it's funny, he told me a story. We did during the lockout in 04-05. He told me a story when we did an outdoor game in Hamilton, our game to give here at Iverwind Stadium, that, Rick, I stole a couple of your sticks in St. Louis, and I'm like, the training camp, and I'm like, why would you steal my sticks? Like, did you need some foundation for your house?
Were there no other sticks there?
Well, that was my point, but how big are those tomato plants? I was thinking, if you're like, using the shop.
Wasn't there Federico there and people
like
that?
Yeah, but he said, I just like the way you played, and I love, you know, your sticks are so big and strong. He probably still has them today.
Well, no wonder he didn't make the NHL.
Like, that's why I didn't want to say I was questioning his intelligence way back then, but at the end of the day, you know what kind of player he is. He's a player, or excuse me, coach. He's a player coach, good guy, really defines your jobs, you know, open to communication. And I think that was the biggest thing with Noel there in Calgary. I'm not sure what the, you know, the back door talkings were, but at the end of the day, with Paul Maurice there, you know you're going to get an honest answer if you ask for an honest question.
And he's been living in Columbus, Ohio now, and he did a year in the KHL, and he just told the family next time they have to make a decision wherever it's going to be, so that he doesn't know whether they'll make the move full-time from Columbus to Winnipeg, but they'll talk about that in the offseason. Meanwhile, as we continue on Leafs Nation pregame, Gord Stelick, Rick Natras with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, counting down the Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Winnipeg Jets tonight. Randy Carlyle's press conference this morning, Joffrey Leupold was among the skaters. Randy could not give a definitive answer. He said Leupold was going to try it out, and we would get some answer this afternoon, so I would think the upside is he sounds close. If he can't play tonight, then I would think chances would be quite good that he's going to play on Tuesday. But it does seem like a night for all hands on deck, so we'll await to get that answer.
Well, the surprise for me is certainly, well, Bernier, you could tell he was really hurt, and I thought at the time we thought it was more getting back to the groin problems he had being out for those 8 games. But again, it's MCL strain, and fortunately, I think it's, you know, got to be around a grade 2 because of the fact that they're using time and no surgery to heal it. So as bad as it is, that for that position, if it was anybody other, I bet you they could play Gord, but because of a goaltender that needs that mobility and the strength in that knee, I'm sure that's why they're keeping him out of the lineup, and certainly if he could play, he would play. Randy Carlyle, again, Boland is a surprise to me. I'm wondering if it's a recurring thing with his ankle or is it something else getting back in the lineup after the extended period, 56 games that he did. You get the bumps and bruises late, especially the tempo of the games at this point of the season. It's not like coming back in November where you can ease yourself in. The tempo and the physicality of these games are very hard on anybody, especially a guy that's been out for 56 games. And then with Lupo, again, if it was the regular season in November, I'm sure it wouldn't be a question that he's not in the lineup. But these are games you have to win, and he's one of your top six forwards that you need his scoring ability and hopefully his leadership.
Well, and the Toronto Marlies, of course, clinched the playoffs last night, so we got to pay kudos to them. They will be in the American Hockey League late playoffs. We're going to find out if the Toronto Maple Leafs will be in the NHL playoffs. Trying to connect with Eddie Olchuk. He usually joins about 5 o'clock. Just we'll keep trying to get Eddie. I was going to ask him about last night's game. I thought, you know something? Eddie's got the Toronto memories. Maybe Dave Boland, his teammates are doing it for him, and can't get two better guys than Joel Quenneville and Mike Kitchen, the coach and assistant coach who started with Cliff Fletcher here with the Toronto. Well, Kitch actually started with me, but then with Cliff Fletcher with the Toronto Maple Leafs way back when. So maybe there was a little bit of a Toronto vibe, these original six teams sticking out for one
another. Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot. you know, if you go look deep and long and hard, there's a lot of guys that have connections to the Toronto Maple Leafs organization that are in the National Hockey League at some level. And you could even go with Montreal as the same, you know, two long-standing dynasties, or I should say organizations, that have pushed through a lot of individual, be it coaches or developing management players. I think Kitch is the fact that you saw a late goal against Columbus by Chicago because of conditioning, I think. Because if anybody knows Mike Kitch, his conditioning is scary. He's out on the ice with the rookies, and he's doing down and backs and ladders and boards and push-ups, and you're looking at him think, boy, he's like 55, and I'm like 20. He can outskate me. So, I mean, Kitch is an enthusiastic guy. They run a good program in Chicago, as we all know, with Taves and Kane out, and they're still humming along.
Well, you saw it with Boston that night and then Chicago last night. These are teams that are home and cooled out, but they're never home and cooled out, and that's why their success is. And what I thought was a great test for the Leafs on Thursday, and we commented on it, was these elite teams come at you in waves and come at you in waves. And when they, you know, you look up and there's three of them. You pass the puck and you go, why are there three guys over there? Shouldn't there only be one or two? And they did that. Then also the third period, it brought back the memories of how they really killed you in front of your own net and quite often put a Leaf player behind them. So all of a sudden you've got the goaltender, whether it was Bernier or Reimer, screened by his own guy, screened by a Bruin guy, and that's what bit them last year in Game 7 and almost did it the other night.
Well, again, and that's, you know, as defensemen, in today's NHL, you can't punish anybody in front of the net like the old days, or you really knew who wanted to stay in front of the net after you got finished with them and you broke a couple sticks on their back, alluding to my sticks Paul Maurice used to steal. You could use them for foundations.
Right. They were kind of like shillelaghs.
Whatever that is. But, no, in today's NHL, once the opposition gets that spot in front of you, there's pretty much you can't do. So you have to control sticks. We don't want to see what Ranger did by accident with Bergeron, you know, late in the game or middle of the third period in regards to banging him into Bernier. So you have to play that line. So what they call a defenseman in that situation is just get in front of him as well, and they call fronting the puck. So, again, if those shots do come from the point, you have to be 99% sure that you're going to get that puck. That means with your body, not with your stick. And unfortunately, when we're talking about Boston last year in the playoffs, they started putting Char behind there. He's a pretty big load to carry, and the Leafs didn't do a great job. So, again, this is not first, don't allow them to get that position. Second is, again, if they do, you've got to front the puck and make sure you block it.
Eddie Olchuk now, our regular friend from NBC, part of the Chicago Blackhawk broadcast crew, joining Gord Stellick, Rick Natras on Leafs Nation pregame. Of course, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And Eddie O, we're just talking about the game last night, so we didn't know whether it was guys like you and Kitch and Quenneville, that the old Toronto gang that helped do it. But boy, that was quite an exciting ending that benefited the Leafs.
Well, Gordo and Matt, nice to be with you.
You too,
and yeah, it was kind of a crazy game, really, when you really looked at it. I mean, it was kind of a tale of a couple of games. It was a game where it was wide open for a period of time, and then it really shut down in the third period and became really like a playoff game, and it really became a tight checking type of game. And you know, you Matt scramble, and you know, it's 6-7 people in front of the net, and all of a sudden Ben Smith finds a way to put the puck into the back of the net. You know, the Blackhawks had lost 3 games in a row, and now they've won a couple in a row. So that was a big win because they're still trying to catch Colorado. So yeah, it was a pretty crazy ending, considering how the game was played from start to finish.
Well, Eddie Smith, it's almost like it was teed up on Bobrovsky's nose, and he had to chip it in from there because it looked like he clipped him under the chin. It didn't touch his face, but I'm saying the puck was literally, I thought, almost sitting right on top of his head when he was on the ice. So it was a little bit of a surprise, certainly a downer for Columbus. You knew the mood there. I was watching Rimmer make fun of you in between periods there in the second and third, so I was feeling kind of bad. I didn't have your number to call you, just you and Gordon. Buddies to have each other's numbers, but
Eddie told me not to give it to
you. I believe that, you know, but I just, you know, I thought the Columbus, again, you know, a team that's struggling and wants to be in the playoffs, giving up a lead against Colorado earlier and then another lead again, or losing games late, is it destiny or is it just the way they're playing?
You know, I like the way that they play, Matt. I mean, I really do. They compete. They play hard. I think they defend really well. I mean, this isn't the Columbus Blue Jackets of, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago. I mean, this is a team that's a lot deeper. You look at some of the moves that have been made over the course, you know, the last couple of years, you know, whether it's bringing Dubinsky and Anisimov and Jack Johnson. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, in the last couple of days that, the one thing that's happened there, I mean, you bring Bobrovsky in and you know, given some stability and goal and a veteran guy, but, you know, the one thing that's happened here is that, you know, finally some of their higher draft picks have stepped up to the forefront and have performed. I mean, Johansson and Atkinson, I mean, that's what you need. You know, I mean, Boone Jenner is an energy type of guy. I mean, you need, you know, when you're a new team and you get a lot of high draft picks, I mean, you got to have some of these guys step up and do the job. And, I mean, we know that Rick Nash did that, but he didn't have a lot of help. So they went out, they made the right move, and you bring in some depth players. And, you know, to me, that's really been the biggest difference, is that you've got some young, high draft picks that have come in and played very well and contributed. I mean, they're a hard team. I mean, they're a hard team to play against. I mean, talking to a lot of the personnel from the Blackhawks last night, I mean, I know they smoked them a couple of weeks ago in Chicago. You know, Columbus defense, it was, like, I think, their third game in four nights or whatever. But they compete. They play hard. And, I mean, a tough, tough game where it looks like you're going to get at least 1 point, and we all know it's very crucial. But if I could say this, like, I don't know why there's this – it seems like there's this swell. Every year at this time of year, a lot of people, and including in the media, everybody comes up with this – what you're saying, wow, it's so amazing how close it is and how close the races are for – No, it's not. Why is it amazing? I mean, you have so much parity in the league. You have three-point games. Of course it's going to be close. Like, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that we have so many races so close, not only for, you know, divisional races, but also in the wild card and teams trying to make the playoffs. It really shouldn't be a surprise to anybody now because of the three-point game. Now, if you would eliminate the three-point game, then I would say you would see a lot more separation and wouldn't have as many races. And that's the spirit. I think the league got it right with having these teams in the wild card. And, yeah, you have a lot more around, but for people to be surprised that it's so close after 76 or 77 games, well, it should be that way because teams are, you know, playing in a lot of three-point games.
Eddie, isn't it amazing how close the races are every year? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, we'll
talk and about... You can tell he's paying attention to you,
that's
too,
it, just so you know.
Hey, Gord, after that one, just hit delete for my phone number, would you please?
That mean I get it?
As an observer, somewhat neutral observer, you look at three places, yeah. Toronto, Columbus, and Washington. Which one is the most bitter pill to swallow if they don't make the playoffs? I mean, we all think it's here. I still think it's here because the Leafs had the big lead. Do you think it's one of the three teams that the most ticked?
Yeah. I mean, it's not hard to say the Leafs for sure. I mean, look, now, you know, but Bernier done for the rest of the year? Is that official? I mean,
3 weeks.
I don't know,
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, look. I mean, you know, they're going to be out with their. Without the race for the next little while, and that's, you know, hey, that's the way that it goes. Being where they were, and considering how things went last year, I would have to say certainly it would be. But look, I don't think that the team below them right now should be let off the hook. I mean, look, this is as disappointing as any team in the league is where they are right now. I mean, what, they only have 24 or 25 regulation wins? Or overtime wins in 70 some games. I mean, that's really incredible, you know. And then also too, you know, the other night in that game against Dallas, right? I mean, they were down what 4-0, 5-0, or whatever. And then, you know, supposedly after the game, Alexander Ovechkin was called out. You know, I don't know if it was by Adam Oates or by George McPhee or whatever. I think it was Adam Oates.
But, yeah.
Okay, that's fine for the one play where he was, you know, lackadaisical or lazy or something when he was coming back on the back check, he was unaware or whatever. Well, then that's fine. But, Nat, you know this. As a player, and I had this too in my career, a coach can berate you in a newspaper. He can degrade you in front of your teammates. He can call you names. He can yell at you. He can scream at you, everything else. It's going to bother you, but it's not going to bother you as much as taking away ice time. Now, let's remember, at the end of that game, the game was 4-0 or 5-0, and after the play that Adam Oates called out Alexander Ovechkin about, he was on a power play on a 5-on-3. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I hear you.
I don't think you can have it both ways. I don't think that you can go ahead and do what happened post-game and then still reward a guy, because that's what the power play is rewarding somebody. But in a 5-0 game or a 4-0 game in a 5-on-3 situation, that's where you could have sent the message. And I think, you know what, not only impacting Alexander Ovechkin, but also the rest of the guys in sending a message. And I think that certainly would have sent more shockwaves than the media.
And, Eddie, and just to elaborate on that, and Gordon and I have talked about this many a times, certainly with the inefficiencies at times for the a consistent back check with lots of pressure in this organization or this team, Toronto. I felt there was opportunities earlier in the year to maybe sit your star guys down, maybe that aren't participating in that part of the game. And I think that just, you know, it's a trickle effect. So if you're a Rick Natras and they sit a Guy Lafleur or Larry Robinson, I know I better be doing my job to a higher level because it'll be very easy.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think it's very sensitive. And look, I mean, I lived it when I was coaching in Pittsburgh. I mean, look, all players have a little bit longer of a bungee cord than others. But I think when you talk about the premise of the consistencies and in earning and wanting respect, I think it's got to be the same way. And look, if Ovechkin dogs it in a game when it's 3-0 and a guy blows right by him and doesn't score, look at. You know, his is going to be a little bit longer, but when the guy is minus 38 or 39, at some point you got to send a message. Now, look, the guys that have sent messages to Alexander Ovechkin over the last, what, 6-7 years, haven't lasted too long in Washington. Now, whether right, wrong, it doesn't matter. I mean, when have they had the most success? Is when Dale Hunter was coaching, when Bruce Boudreau was coaching. I mean, I'm talking about success. I'm talking about winning. I'm not talking about guys, you know, getting 50 and 60 goals. Look, he's one of the best goal scorers there are in the league. There's no doubt about it. But I think that there's a much bigger issue there going on. And to me, you're right, it sends a strong message is that when you hold everybody accountable and everybody under the same rules to a certain extent, and I like I said, the bungee cord is a little bit longer for other players, and rightfully so, but I think it still has to be the same. Players want two things. They want communication, and they want discipline. And if you can put some consistency in there, the players are going to go through a wall for you, all players. And that includes, you know, the best players that there are that, you know, at that particular craft.
Eddie, going to go from Ovechkin to a very different player, but the Leafs nominee for the Bill Masterton Trophy is Paul Ranger. And despite having that incident that Bernier got hurt that he was involved, I mean, he played 20 minutes. He played the big body, played against Boston. And I'm trying to think, and this is probably one when you hang up the phone, you'll think of a guy or two, but for a guy to miss 3 complete years of professional hockey, I mean, be right out of it for 3 years, and then come back. I remember, I mean, Ron Ellis retired for 2 years, came back, Guy Lafleur, 3 years. But these are guys at the end of their careers that came back maybe for a year. This is a guy basically that's starting all over, and the more he's played, the chance he's got, he's been making the most of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tremendous story. You know, I mean, I know I just remember from reading, you know, a lot of clips last year. I know Dallas Eakins was a big fan of Paul Ranger, you know, with the Marlies, I believe. And, you know, and you need somebody to give you a chance and give you an opportunity. And you know, I mean, the struggles of you know, not only on the ice but off the ice and then be away as long as he has been. I mean, it's tough enough playing and at the highest level, but when you go that long, I mean, it's very, very difficult. And congratulations to him and something well-earned. But, you know, it's very, very difficult to miss any period of time, you know, an extended period of time. But when you're talking about, you know, years, and you think about how the league has gotten much quicker, you have to be a not only a special player, but probably more important, a special person to be able to have the wherewithal and the confidence to, you know, stay positive and stay up and give yourself an opportunity to get back to the league, and he's certainly done that.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note that when he was down with the Marlies last year, his year was going very well, but he wanted to stay there no matter how good he was doing because he wanted to, you know, go through the trials and tribulations, 3 games and 3 nights in the American League. And then when he comes up here, Eddie, they're probably looking at him like a 10-goal scorer he was in Tampa, you know, near the end of his first stint there, and he's trying to identify what kind of player he is, as you alluded to, the game had changed since he left the game. And I think he's finally done that. Randy Carlyle putting that 7th D in. It's funny, after they played Tampa, that's when he started doing it. And it really, I think, helped. I know it doesn't seem like that sometimes, but I think it helped for Randy to pick the right guys to play at right situations with that extra D.
Well, yeah, and I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, I think Randy's history has always been is I think he really, you know, he really counts and relies and likes guys that have been around the block a few times. And, you know, hey, so, you know, you can look at that a lot of different ways, and we've had the conversation with about Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner, who you guys know that I'm a fan of. You know, I mean, you know, it is a young man's game now. You got to be able to skate. And yeah, there are some take some chances, and they're going to make mistakes. But there are coaches that just like that comfort zone of knowing that for the most part that you know you're going to have guys that are stay at home guys have the ability to move the puck, you know, move it out when they have the opportunity, or just shovel it off the glass and make that safe play. And you know, Randy's always, not, I should say always, but for the most time that he's been in the National Hockey League as head coach, you look at his defense, and it's always been, I don't want to say elderly, but certainly a set of defense that's
experienced, yeah.
That has a lot of experience, absolutely. Matt, you'd probably look pretty good.
No, I would. I was just thinking that's off the glass, but I made a lot of money in and out, right?
Hold on, Matt. We played in the same era.
I know. Well, not a lot of money.
You didn't make a lot of money.
Well,
exactly.
It was compared to my mother's, what she was giving me at every Friday, $5.
There
so I was
go.
Like,
there
I was rolling it, though.
It's all relative.
That
all
is.
Relative.
Well, the key is, the simple key is, you're a certain age, and when you're winning, you're a veteran, and then if you lose
you're
a month
old.
Later, you're old. So that's it. It's just that easy. So that's how the age changes. Eddie, you are ageless, and
yes.
You'll be at it tomorrow. The Blackhawks take it on the St. Louis Blues, and thanks, guys. Yeah. Like Quenville and Kitchen say, Toronto says thanks for
and
last
whatever
night.
Whatever Rimmer says, you look good on TV, bud.
Yeah, I try. He's got the face for radio for sure.
I would agree, and I've known that face for a long time.
So you guys have a great rest of the weekend, and Gord, remember, delete.
Okay. First forward to Nat, and then delete.
Enjoy the great playoff races, Eddie. What a surprise, okay?
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Eddie, it's true. It's absolutely true, Eddie. I'll tell you, wow, can you believe it this year? And it's true. The third point has just got everybody in there. But that's why the games and blowing
since
0-4. And blowing three games against Columbus is coming back to bite them in the butt.
Yeah,
I mean, that was three of the worst efforts the Leafs had.
Well, yeah, the 6-0 killing here was pretty bad. But again, with Eddie, what you talk, if you go back to the 0-4-0-5 season, Gord, you look at the parity now with that, you know, 3-point games. And it's been this tight day in and day out, year in and year out for certainly in the West. There might be some separation because of Boston and Pittsburgh in the East. But I think, you know, across the league that you've seen guys, teams coming down. How many times did we see Philadelphia a couple of years ago? You know, they had to win a shootout, or Rangers had to lose it for them to get in.
Well, we are hoping, looking forward. We'll be doing playoff action next Saturday. Hopefully, we'll be doing regular season action, then playoff action.
Yes.
So each Saturday now, that's going to be my first question to Eddie. Can you believe the close playoff races? Anyway, when we come back, though, we'll switch to some of those other close playoff races that are going on around the National Hockey League and then hone in on tonight's game between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to Leafs Nation Pregame. Gord Stelick, Rick Natras with you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stelick, Rick Natras with you. Air Canada Centre counting down to the puck drop tonight. The Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Winnipeg Jets. Of course, all the action right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Kind of like it. We sit here and watch things get ready. The ushers and usherettes, why don't they call them that anymore? They're all hot. They're all here. Then they break about 15 minutes ago to
it's like actors.
Go to their
just
gates.
Call everybody actors.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Just all one, you know, flight attendants, whatever.
Are.
Now you got some people hanging down there. Not like the old days with the short glass where you used to be able to
hang
lean over and get, with a hangover,
throw snow at people. The guys used to, the ones hanging over used to scoop snow up with their stick and throw it over the glass. I thought it was quite amusing.
So we are going to chat about the Toronto Maple Leafs, Winnipeg Jets, but also the 12 games that are going on around the National Hockey League. Big one for the Dallas Stars tonight at Tampa Bay. Marty Turco from the Dallas Stars and also Sportsnet joining us. How you doing, Marty?
I'm good. Gord, how you doing? Rick, how are you?
Good,
buddy?
Marty.
Yeah, you know, just talk about the playoff races. Obviously, we're in one here, the Toronto Maple Leafs in the thick of things with the Dallas Stars. What are going to be the keys when you look at the remaining games, whether it's the schedule, whether it's the styles of play or whatever? How are you handicapping it?
Well, that's a great question, Gord, and certainly handicapping it. If I knew, I would be able to shed some light on it for somebody. But it is, it just all boils down to the way you're going to play when the game is on the line. And, you know, I think for the Eastern Conference, you know, there's a few teams in the mix, man. Like, it's pretty exciting. It's crappy to think that Toronto's on the outside looking in at this moment. But as you guys know, the buzz tonight there is pretty extraordinary for them to get a win. To play great, you know, man, it's both endings important is an understatement, but this time of year, it comes down to timely goals and, you know, those unsung heroes. And then when you get in, it's those guys that, you know, carry you a game two around you know, especially in the last few years. I think for all these teams that are fighting for their playoff lives, you just got to think of the 7-8 seeds that have won and went far in the last, you know, 4 to 5 years. And that's a, you know, pretty cool feeling. But obviously, playoff mode is on for these guys in the West, too. It's, you know, really essentially just boiling down to the Coyotes and Stars. It feels like, again, and the last game of the year in Phoenix, it might come down to that. And I think that's awesome. So I already tried to reserve my seat for the plane ride out to Phoenix to get on that one to watch the Stars clinch the playoff. It's been a long time, but timeliness, you know, goes without saying for these guys to get some huge goals, some huge blocks. The play, like, everything is on the line, and it's such an emotional time. I'm excited to watch some games tonight.
Yeah, Marty, again, you see Dallas. You got Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn. You know, the experience he brings back from the Olympics and what he did there, I think it was just an eye-opener from everybody. I enjoyed watching him when he comes in. Jamie, I'm talking about, come into Toronto. Heavy on the puck when he has it, heavy without it. I mean, that's what I like about him. These two guys seem to be the light that keeps you guys going. We know Kari Lehtinen's, played a lot of hockey this year. That's why they brought in Tim Thomas. But besides those three guys, who do you think is really helping them push forward and maybe get yourselves in a playoff spot?
Well, you know, it has been a total team effort to get to having a chance to make the playoffs again. But I think the veterans really have stepped up. You know, Ray Whitney and Vern Fiddler have played great. Eric Coles had some huge goals this year with speed on the wing, and it's sad for me to really put it in perspective and think that Trevor Daley is a veteran and got the most games played as a Star out there, because I just remember him being a kid and, you know, getting him along, helping him out in his rookie years. But you know, I think guys like that are really the glue for that team, and you can't really look past what Roussel and Garbutt, those guys that don't get all quite that minutes, they do for that team, between the penalty killing, the hitting, the energy that they provide, and still a bunch of scoring that this team needs. And, you know, to your point about Tyler and Jamie, those guys are the discrepancy between those two and the rest of the team when you look at the scoring lead. You know, I don't know, there's 40 some plus points difference between those guys and anybody else. And, you know, it's a testament to those guys and what they've done for this team, but also the balance scoring. It's important for this Stars team to be successful. Kari is one of the best in the world. They're going to rely on him. We're going to see what he's made of in the next week or so. You know, he hasn't played in the playoffs for this organization. And if we are going to, it's going to be because of him, in my mind. But to your first point about Jamie, you know, we have the tree, and I've known him for a long time and knew what kind of special player he is and is going to be. But for him to go to the Olympics and kind of have that showcase, I guess, for the rest of the hockey world, I think that was awesome for him. And it's really, you know, the best thing it'll accelerate his leadership role as the captain, new captain of the Dallas Stars, to get that platform, but then gain the confidence to move ahead and really create the identity that he wants this team to be and be that persona that the Dallas Stars have envisioned for him. He is a special player. To think that maybe some people didn't think he was a good skater. You see him out there with the best in the world. It's the pinnacle of a hockey tournament, like the Olympics, and succeed and then some, and look like one of the best players out there. Man, it was eye-opening, to say the least, but I think he surprised himself a little bit, as much as everybody else. But playing in Dallas, playing in the West, down here in Texas, you kind of get to hide a little bit, but when you play in the Olympics, you can't. And he really showed himself true form during that tournament.
Now, Marty, it's one of the more memorable points, ended up for being the best of the reasons, was the incident with Rich Peverly, the health scare, to say the least. And now it looks like we'll be revisiting it to a degree, that playoff race is that game being rescheduled. So what, Columbus will play Dallas again. Columbus will have a 1-0 lead, but you'll play a full 60 minutes. And you've got two teams it has serious playoff implications for, and other teams, like here in the East, Toronto, it does as well. That's a huge game.
Yeah, it's a huge game for, you know, 1,000 reasons. But I think most importantly, for sports and humanity, for what happened to Rich, the emotional state of that game, to have to reschedule it. It was some scary stuff, and we're just glad that the staff and the doctors were able to take care of it, you know, and be there for him. Like, it's pretty crazy, really, 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 what happened was so bloody scary. But it, the game, like, you know, what people don't realize is, you know, the Stars have two games in hand, but they're down 1-0 in one of those games.
Yeah, weird.
Going into them, and yeah, weird is so true. But hey, whatever. Here are these guys. You know what they have to do in front of them. They got so many games compared to everybody else coming up. They got the back-to-back and to finish off this road trip in Florida, and then they come home and play Nashville on Tuesday, and then they have their Columbus game Wednesday, and then they got another back-to-back to finish the season off Friday against St. Louis and then in Phoenix. So the pedal is to the metal to see what Kari has. To have two games, a day off, and two games, a day off, two games. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, the Columbus game, I think that's going to be the monumental one because of what happened with Rich, the emotions that was left on it, and how big that game is Wednesday because of the points, you know, for both sides, you know, for Toronto and Detroit watching the Stars play them, and then Phoenix watching Dallas play against Columbus. It's unique, more than anything, just fortunate that Rich is healthy and you know, and alive, and had good people taking care of him, and we'll be all watching that game pretty closely.
Yeah, no question about it. First things first about the state of Rich Peverley. That's exactly it. You got a game tonight against Tampa Bay. Thanks very much for making time,
Marty.
For us, Marty.
Yeah, of course, Rick and Gord. I appreciate you guys having me. We'll
thanks, buddy.
Soon.
Good luck, pal.
Thank you. Ciao.
Marty Turco, does he need good luck?
Well, he's yeah, because, well, he's still
good.
Part of it. You know how it is. They say good luck to
yeah.
us and all that. He's an ex-player. It's always with an ex-player I say good luck, but that doesn't mean in hockey. That means in life. I just wanted to just reiterate a little bit going back to Dallas. They're 5-5 in the last 10, Gord, but the problem with them is they're scoring lots, but they're giving up lots. I think they've, you know, to the point where they're scoring 4-plus goals a game, but they've been in a lot of shootouts in themselves where they've given up, you know, 5 and 7 and 6, and that's got to be with Lenny Ruff being behind the bench. He's more of a defensive-oriented coach, and I think he's certainly can't be happy with that.
Well, Marty Turco joining us. Of course, he's talking about the Dallas Stars. Check with those Phoenix Coyotes. He mentions the battle they're having.
Yes.
Sarah McClellan covering the Phoenix Coyotes and the National Hockey League for the Arizona Republic joining us. And Sarah, when you try to think of the games and winning and losing, you don't expect to lose 3 in a row this time of year and lose one at Edmonton last night. So it just shows it's a tough one to predict, and anything can happen.
Yeah, you can't overlook anyone at this time of the year. I think the Coyotes were probably feeling very encouraged, you know, at the beginning of this week, thinking, you know, a tough stretch with 3 games in 4 nights, but 2 games against non-playoff teams in Winnipeg and Edmonton. I think they thought they had a chance to bank some points before they got a little bit of a break this weekend, and it just shows, you know, you can't take anyone for granted. They lost in a shootout against Winnipeg, lost in a shootout to Edmonton, and then were just completely overwhelmed in the middle of those games by the LA Kings. So, you know, they're in a dogfight right now, like you mentioned, with the Dallas Stars. I think there's going to be a lot of people in Phoenix tuning into these Stars games this weekend to see what happens, because they don't get back on the ice till Tuesday, so it'll be a little bit of practice time, but I think a lot of scoreboard watching to kind of see their fate, you know, when they go into this last week of the regular season.
Well, I think they're, and it's got to be a little disappointing for Tibbett, and that coming in even the last week of March, you know, going, I guess, 2 wins and 5 losses, or 6 losses, I should say. So, I mean, this is a team that, you know, they scored some goals early in the season. We're not seeing as many this latter part. And one of the situations I'd like to get your view on is the Ribeiro situation. I know he sat out a couple games earlier on about a week ago, but he seems to only be playing about 13 minutes last game, about 5 minutes under his season total. What's the situation there?
Yeah, I don't think it's just settled in as they anticipated. I think kind of he's gone how the team has gone this season. Early on when the team was scoring a lot, he was a big reason why. He was very active in the offense and was a big catalyst on the power play. And, you know, that contributions have just seemed to dry up at the most important time of the year. I think the big thing with him is they haven't really found a pair of wingers to go with him that complement him. I think his style is pretty unique, and I think Dave Tippett, having familiarity with him from their days in Dallas, felt he could work with that. But I just don't think they've had the options in the system here that they felt could complement Ribeiro. He's obviously a playmaking type of guy, but, you know, I think he likes to kind of stay more in the heart of the ice and let his wingers do all the dirty work along the boards and just kind of find him the puck. And there haven't been a lot of guys, I think, that have been able to accomplish that for him so they can get some cohesiveness on a line. So he's kind of fallen down the depth chart, which is disappointing because he came in, you know, so hyped in the offseason as finally a number one center for this group. But, you know, he's behind Antoine Vermette and Marty Hanzel right now. So still 3 more years left on his deal after this season. I mean, he's penciled in at least right now as part of the future. So I think probably a priority in the offseason should be finding guys to work with him to try and maximize his potential with this group.
Yeah, it's interesting because he did start off very well, and, you know, and everybody was thinking, what a great signing. And then I think, do you think the East type of hockey, the, you know, the North Cell, straight up, straight down, hard to the net, get it in behind the defenders and try to get possession and cycle, where he's a more East to West, Eastern, East division type of player? Is that something that where you're talking about the style of play with him? He likes to delay. He likes to come, you know, from the middle, maybe pick up that late trailer with the pass. Is that something he struggled with, or because of the style differences?
Yeah, I think so. Like he really definitely likes to be patient. You don't see a lot of acceleration from him. I think he really tries to observe the play and pick his spots. But having said that, I mean, he was excited to come back to the West. I think he said he felt like this was a conference that he's had success in the past that he's very, very comfortable in. Was happy to be reunited with the likes of Dave Tippett and Mike Smith and, you know, players that he played with in Dallas, and obviously a long history with Tippett. But, you know, I think he's just kind of emblematic of a lot of what's gone wrong for the Coyotes this season. So much that they banked on just hasn't materialized. And I think that's why they find themselves in such a precarious situation with 4 games left. You know, the players that they thought would give more haven't, or they've been injured, or, you know, just the circumstance of, you know, finally having ownership settled and, you know, turning a, you know, towards a new chapter in the franchise. It just hasn't brought all the warm and fuzzy feelings, I think, that they anticipated. And it's been tough this season. I really think it's been head-scratching at times, but, you know, it makes sense at other times that, you know, if you don't have the personnel there and you're not healthy, you know, it's going to make for a tough sledding for this season.
Well, it's going to be interesting, we said, right to the bitter end, that's for sure. And Marty Jurko was talking about the last game of the season could come down with these two teams in Phoenix and Dallas for the Western Conference final wild card spot, kind of like here, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that kind of dogfight in the East. Sarah, always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks. Take care, guys.
Sarah McClellan from the Arizona Republic, of course, covers the NHL.
Yeah, she does a great job, and it'd be interesting. She said staying healthy. It'd be nice to know what's going on with Mike Smith, because they said it was about a week day-to-day, but it's pushing about 2 weeks, Gord, with him.
You didn't wish her good luck?
No, well, she's not a player.
Okay, so I know. Can you phone Sarah back and wish her good luck from us, Matt, if you don't mind, our producer, Matt Brown?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's been a good hour. We've enjoyed that. We're hoping for good luck and good play tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
They're half the guests showed up.
The Winnipeg Jets in about 1 hour's time. All the action on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. By the way, Phoenix, too, it shows. There's still challenges
there.
Just get
there
the ownership
is.
There. It doesn't the mean same. They turn it on, the fans start coming.
It doesn't mean they're going to have the cap speed next year to spend to the cap either.
Well, get in. Talk more about the 12 games. Phoenix, Dallas, but Toronto and Winnipeg when we come back with more Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Rick Natras with you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Skating circles around the competition. This is Leafs Nation pregame with Gord Stellick and Rick Natras on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sorry. I'm hearing nothing. We'll be right back. Nation pregame. Okay, we are up and running here. Leafs Nation pregame. Air Canada Center. Gord Stelnick, Rick Natras with you here getting set for the game between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Winnipeg Jets tonight. Of course, big game for the Toronto Maple Leafs as far as playoff implications go. The Winnipeg Jets now out of the playoff race, and wonder what kind of team we will see tonight. Paul Maurice back in town as the coach of the Winnipeg Jets after a pretty successful run for the second half of the season. We'll chat with Mike Zeisberger in about 3 minutes' time, just to, as we see him enter our studio here at Air Canada Center. And Rick, obviously it's been a tale of two very different teams. Well, maybe three different teams. There was the season. Then they go to California. Everything was great. Then the eight-game losing streak. And then when you least expect it, they stop the bleeding against Calgary, win against somewhat of their arch rivals, Boston. And from a race that they looked they were totally in, then totally out, it's going to be compelling, these final four games starting tonight.
Certainly. And I think, you know, again, and then you want to talk about two different teams that played at a really high-level, disciplined defensively for the first 40 minutes of the game against Boston, and then we're playing with the lead again. We saw them, as Randy Carlyle and I alluded to both, that they stop breathing. When you stop breathing, when you're playing, you stop skating. Your eyes start moving around. You're unaware of what's going on around you rather than focusing on the puck. So we've seen a Toronto Maple Leaf team that I hope, you know, learned a lesson from that 40 minutes. What kind of hockey would you rather play? The 40 minutes you played where you're putting pressure on Boston and playing a lot with the puck in their end, or do you want to play the last 20 minutes with you in your own end, wondering if you're going to give up the lead? So the Toronto Maple Leafs, again, Gord, to me, is the consistency factor. Unfortunately for me, with them for the whole year, is their inability to stick to the plan and play 60 minutes worth of disciplined hockey.
And we'll find out later on this hour. Joffrey Leupold took part in the morning skate, and head coach Randy Carlyle said a decision will be made sometime later on this afternoon. And getting set, of course, to cover the game tonight, as he always does, the Maple Leafs and the National Hockey League. Mike Zeisberger from the Toronto Sun. And, you know, I can remember being on the management side, and sometimes management would get annoyed with the media and go, oh, well, you guys are happy, we're losing. You guys are, and really, I know from any which way, if you're on the media side, you don't have to be a fan, but it's way more compelling and way more interesting and easier to do your job when you are in the hunt like the Leafs are once again.
Sure it is, and, you know, it's kind of compelling, too, the way this thing is kind of unraveling and playing itself out. What happened last night, obviously, I mean, with the Washington Capitals. I mean, you talk about the Leafs fall from grace a couple of weeks ago.
Five losses.
You know, I mean, you look at some of the talent on that Washington Capitals team, and, you know, I always, the coach is always a scapegoat. You got Alex Ovechkin saying that he quit on a play earlier this week against Dallas. Does Adam Oates take the fall? Whatever the case, they lose late last night. Columbus with a heartbreaker against Chicago. Things are starting to fall into place for the Leafs, but they still have to hold serve. And my number one thing, I don't blame James Reimer for that losing streak, but he's got to make a save now. He's got a second chance, guys, okay? We keep hearing, you know, he is such a competitive guy and he's such a good kid. I have no issues with that, but hey, now it's time to prove it. It's time to stop the puck. You know, and by no means am I blaming him for this, but he's got his second chance here.
No, Mike, and I think I allude to the same things. Again, it had to take Bernier to come back to show everybody those, you know, inconsistencies on coming back into the play, the back check, the taking away the high slots, all these one-on-ones out of the corner, all these things we've alluded to all year that the Leafs have, you know, really been bailed out by the goaltenders. And that includes Reimer and Bernier for the first 3 months of the season. After I said to Gord earlier on the pregame show that Bernier sort of took that number one spot, and Reimer really hasn't done a good job, and I say this lately because I don't know how to do it, to be that backup. You know what I mean? So the mental, you know, letdown that he had of now being designated that number two guy, he's got to push that to the side. He talks about it. Everybody else talks about it. But we need him, or the Leafs need him, to really believe he's the number one guy like he wanted to be in October and November.
And here's the thing, guys. I mean, you know, not trying to get ahead of myself here, but if the scenario plays out that the Maple Leafs somehow get into the playoffs, the Boston Bruins today locked up the Eastern Conference. They're going to be the number one seed. So if James Reimer can somehow get through these next four games, okay, that first-round matchup is where he's going to have to exercise his demons again.
Well, and it's interesting. We talk about different players. And by the way, the nice guy thing, I'm with you. I'm big on him being a
–
but my mom's like the nicest person I know, but I wouldn't want her playing goal for the Maple Leafs, okay? You got – or if she was, I'd expect her to make a save,
What,
okay?
Didn't you and brother Bob fire pucks at her when you were a little kid?
She was good glove hand when she was younger, but who knows
Mike
now.
Mike Palmateer-esque?
They bruised her another way.
We will find out about that. Anyway, you know, you mentioned different guys in the style the Bruins play. And again, getting ahead of ourselves for the playoff round, but – Troy Bodie got over 20 minutes for the first time this year. Boy, Rick's really been big on him for a while that you say all he does really is what Randy Carlyle asks, the simple things. That was a pretty impressive game, and he's really had a lot of those when he's played.
No, exactly. I mean, what's the old adage in sports? KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And that's what he does, and that's what Randy Carlyle has been begging these guys to do. And it's funny because you look at that eight-game losing streak, and they really weren't outplayed as much as they have been at times where they've been winning games. I mean, they weren't being outshot by a lot. I mean, there were games where they were the ones outshooting the opposition, but they always seemed to be behind in those games. But I've noticed slowly but surely they've started to play that system, keep it simple, dumping pucks, getting them in deep. And my question is, what's taken so long?
Yeah, no, and we've talked about this. And again, you know, your top two lines, which have a lot of offense, we know that. Again, I think at times, and because that's all he had, Randy had to overplay them. So you want them to score, but what you do is you take away that energy to come back. And we saw how much energy they had on the back check most nights, which wasn't enough. But if you had this top bottom six, as I said to Gord, you got Jay McClellan. He's a good fourth line guy. Third line he can fill in. But you got a Kuhlman down there. You might have D'Amigo. Those six guys have to set the tone of what really the system is so your other guys can eat up and, you know, take away the energy from the opposition's blue line, which allows your top six guys to be better offensively and hopefully a little better defensively.
I find Nikolai Kuhlman to be one of the biggest enigmas on this team. You get every now and then you get a little bit of a flash, but he's supposed to be this reverted into this defensive player, this digger, and that. I haven't
not
seen
convinced.
That.
I'm not
and
convinced.
Here's another thing. After JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, scored his 30th goal the other night, I went up to him and said, who's the last Leaf not named Phil Kessel to score 30 goals in a season? And you know what? I even asked guys up here. Of 10 people I asked in the press box, only two got it. And it was Nikolai Kuhlman.
Yeah.
And so if he's not scoring and he's not consistent as being that checker, as you said, the third or fourth line guy, I can't see, you know, we talk about which guys won't be back. He's one of the guys I can't see being back.
Is that Nikolai Kuhlman?
Yes.
Okay, I would have got it too. Three out of 11, just so you know. For
Minsk.
The record.
He's going to miss.
I was in a soundproof booth, by the way, when you gave that answer. Well, I don't know where he's going to go next year or what have you. I just think tonight's game, you can play and kick butt and sometimes not win. That can happen. There's a few games like this.
But not often, Gordon.
Well, I know. No. But so there are no excuses. We always talk about Leafs Nation postgame. You dissect the game. Sometimes you're wondering how they came out so sluggish or how they finished so sluggish. There are zero excuses.
Yep.
You get a stroke of luck last night. If they lay an egg tonight, then so be it. They deserve their fate.
Gord, their last four games, there's one team that's above them in the standings, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've had a history of being successful in Tampa Bay. You look at that Tampa Bay roster, and it's pretty inexperienced from top to bottom. So I agree with you not only tonight, but moving forward. But, you know, once again, not getting ahead of ourselves, I agree with you. And the worst thing that can happen, they cannot surrender an early goal. They just can't because I just think that you might see them deflate, and this is no time for that. This is a game that they should win, and if they're a playoff team, they have to win.
Well, and you talk about this, and this is where, you know, we've heard a lot of the sayings, we have to bring our best game, we have to do that. That's great. These quotes are, you know, boring to most people, certainly to you, a guy that has to write a story. But aren't we getting tired of them? That's the thing. There's been so much talk about we know what we need to do, we know how to do it, but we need to see them do it, and we need to see them do it now because they're not going to be able to get it.
I want to ask you, as an ex-player, how many times did you go, well, we don't really need our best game tonight?
Never. Never. And
now,
that's my
that
point.
Doesn't mean that you
no, no,
that
yeah,
didn't mean that
it.
You didn't have your best game.
No, and this is what I'm talking about. Again, we've talked, Gordon and I, numerous, you know, over every games you've been on, and we've talked about the inconsistency of everybody but, really, Bernier, you know, yep. and the first line. And what we haven't seen is guys like the Kadrys, guys like the Leupolds, guys that are getting huge opportunities, and I'm talking huge with ice time, when and where they play in regards to the game, the situation, not rewarding the coaching staff for putting them yep. there. It's time for some rewards for the coaching staff as much as it is for the guys that are the unsung heroes.
I do want to say one thing. I mean, in all the gloom and doom yep. that was there in the losing streak, and whether they make the playoffs or not, one of the sidebars that I've seen is the fact that, you know, we've seen Morgan Riley grow up in front of our eyes. And I really think that, you know, the last 10, 15 games, Jake Gardner has been much better. I've said it on this show. I've said on numerous shows on the station.
Yeah, don't bring it up.
I think it's a numerous shows on this station, Rick. Really? The fact that I thought it was ridiculous that you'd even harbor the notion of trading a Jake Gardner, because he's still young enough that you can, you know what, try to instill some hockey sense into him. He's only 23. Now, if you get a year or two down the road and he still doesn't have it, I think you still get a return. But nobody, no coach in the world has taught that kid to be able to skate like that.
No.
And after all these years where we used to sit there and say the Leafs have no young prospects in the cupboard, nobody coming up. Now you've got a couple like that and you want to get rid of one? I don't understand that.
You know, one of the incredible stats out there, and it was John Abbott this morning, we're doing a show on Leafs TV, and Ozzy had to go double-check it, that Phil Kessel's got 36 goals, James Van Riemsdyk has 30 goals. Neither has scored a power play goal in 2 months. Neither has. They have not scored
That's
since
incredible.
The first
five
week of
February.
About 20 games in that, but I mean, so it reflects how they've scored 5-on-5, but also you haven't liked the way they've set the power play up. There's been a predictability to it. Yes. And it's incredible. Both haven't scored in 20
Do you want
games.
To know how incredible it is? The three of us have scored as many power play goals in the last 2 months as they have.
Maybe in a career,
we'll pretty impressive. Yeah.
NHL
caliber. But
what do you think, Gordon? Did he ever get his power play goal?
Yeah,
what
I did in St. Louis in that. You know, when I played
Who
on
did
a
it
lesser
go off?
Team. Please, it wasn't you because I'm pretty sure you're up typing up here. But you know,
so did your team
we talked about
injuries?
That. No, we talked about Washington. We talked about earlier about Ovechkin. You know, minus 35. He got his first non-power play goal in 20. I believe it was last night. First point other than the power play in 22. So, again, these are guys that are eating up a lot of minutes. So you're seeing the Kessels and the JVRs and the Bozeks produce. There's other guys that are eating up minutes. You'd like to see them more consistent on how they take the puck to the net, how they drive to the net, and certainly how they come back into their own zone.
No, definitely.
Well, we look forward to tonight. We'll, of course, find out. Well, either way, you got a big coverage on Sunday, always yourself and the Toronto Sun, and it'll be a lot more exciting if they do beat the Winnipeg Jets tonight as we count down a final week that we thought would be playoff previews. We've got all the regular season, I guess, playoff race excitement here
Funny
in Toronto, whether
down
we won or not.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys, and after the game I'll look up if Rick's got pom-poms, and I know they won. And if he's got a wreath that says RIP, I know they lost.
No, listen, there's no Johnson & Johnson tape in my bag, bud. We don't tape our ankles. We're either on the wagon or we're off, and we're on it.
And if there's a wreath that says RIC, something bad happens.
Yeah, that's
hopefully
right.
that's not the case.
Right. I'll land right on you, Mike. You're right below us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Mike Zeisberger. And for those of you who have a press box chart at home, now you know Zeis is right in front of us here. Yeah. As we're in the second row, right center ice here at Air Canada Center. Leafs taking on the Winnipeg Jets, of course. He's Mike Zeisberger from the Toronto Sun joining us. Want to hear a little bit, too, Winnipeg Jets. Tim Campbell will join us later on. We'll chat about them. We'll hear from Paul Maurice, and he'll reflect on a comparable situation when he was head coach of the Maple Leafs, and it came to the final weekend of the season to make it to the Stanley Cup playoffs. But on the Winnipeg side, rookie defenseman Jacob Trouba, been one of the real pleasant surprises, the bright lights. Earlier, he chatted with our Matt Brown.
Jacob, obviously, when you get to this point of the season and the playoffs aren't there, it's a different feeling for you guys. But a Saturday night against another Canadian team, when you get a chance to play spoiler, what's the motivation going into this game against the Maple Leafs?
I think we got, like you said, a chance to play spoiler, and I don't think it really changes how we play or what we do. I think we got to try and start to build something here, and I think we've done that this year, and it's something you can't really let off the gas. You got to continue to do.
And you mentioned that starting to build something. Paul Maurice comes in. Since he's been in here, how different has the team been, and how's the progress been in kind of building this this team that way?
Good. I think he brings a new attitude. I think some more excitement. I think he gets the best out of the players, and I think that's good. That's what you want out of a coach. I think going forward, I think something good's coming here.
You guys have played these guys tough over the last couple of years. You had a great game last time they were in Winnipeg. What is it about the Maple Leafs that tonight poses a threat to you guys, and how do you game plan against them?
We know they're fighting for their playoff life, so they're going to come out and they're going to leave it all out there. So I think we got to match that and go above it if we can. And all the pressure's kind of on them. We don't really have much to lose, so I think use that to our advantage and just go out there and play loose and have some fun.
You've played against a lot of top lines this year. When you look at their top line with Kessel, JVR, some of those guys, how do you match up against them?
They're good players. I think they've proven that. And just got to be physical and try to take away their time and space as much as you can. And they're good players. They're going to make their plays, but you got to try and limit them as much as you can.
For you, in this first pro season for you, a full year for you, how's the adjustment been, and really how's the transition to being an everyday pro been for you?
It's been good. I think I've got a lot of help from different players. I think Mark Stewart's really helped me a lot. Zach Bogosian, him taking me kind of under his wing a little bit. So I've had a lot of guys looking out for me, and it's been different. But I think I've enjoyed it, that's for sure. And got a little bit left to go here.
Jacob Trouba of the Winnipeg Jets with their own Matt Brown. Geez, Jim Ralph, you just got to get occupied. What do you, will you show me the thing? Is it pertaining to our broadcast?
No, I thought you were on.
Oh, no, I'm not on commercial break. We're playing a tape here. Jim Ralph, of course, and Joe Bowen will be here with the play-by-play encounter. But meanwhile, he amuses himself behind there with various things on YouTube and what have you. So, Rick, as we get set for the game tonight, Toronto Maple Leafs against the Winnipeg Jets, we'll hear from Tim Campbell in a few minutes' time to kick things off. Paul Maurice was talking about a few years ago, came down to a final game against the Montreal Canadiens. Leafs, I think we're down by two or three goals, and came back, won the game, but had to wait to see the winner of the New York-New Jersey Devil-New York Islander game. Islanders coached by Ted Nolan won in a shootout, and that eliminated, that was John Ferguson Jr. was the general manager, Paul Maurice, the head coach. And that's what really could happen next Saturday. And of all teams, the Ottawa Senators could be the team that plays spoiler to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Or you could be waiting to Sunday to find out as well what happens. It's going to be that kind of final.
No, it is. Gord, again, it's Eddie O alluded to it. Are we surprised at this time of year that all these teams are fighting to get in, or teams are on the bubble or whatever? And
but I think we're surprised the Leafs are one of them. We're not surprised.
Well, no, and that's what, you know, you want to take an only if. And this is where we talked at the beginning of the year, middle of the year, and again, two-letter word. It's a big one in the National Hockey League. If you only go, you lose five and win three in that eight-game slide, it's totally different, right? I mean, if you beat Columbus two out of three games, it's a different thing. But if, again, Gord, is a huge, huge word in today's National Hockey League.
And, again, Leafs and Jets tonight. It's been with Tim Campbell when we chat with him later on. It's funny, the Maple Leafs were long overdue to make it to the playoffs. You think about Winnipeg and the remnants of the Atlanta Thrasher days, and these Jets fans have nobody has been better or louder or prouder or happier. And there were the only demand they had early on was just none. Basically, they were so happy to have the team that they went.
Expectations
but
now.
That kind of thing. And that's another team that, granted, they're in the West now rather than the East. But they've got to do what the Leafs did last year and start getting in the playoffs and not having excuses.
Yeah, and this is, again, identity. I think they were without one for the first couple of years there in the National Hockey League. Or still, you know, I mean, excuse me, in Winnipeg since they moved back. But, again, you know, you looked at Claude Noel and you thought, you know, geez, maybe he's not the right guy up-tempo. You know, doesn't look like he gets very excited. The team was playing not very excited for, the longest time. They bring in a new coach, different avenue in regards to how he approaches players. I'm assuming, again, only knowing Paul Maurice, you know, I don't know Noel. But, you know, he's very, you know, communicative, easy to talk to type of guy. They went on a good run. But, again, their depth has been an issue. They've had some injuries, key issues at the end. Made him from, instead of being a buyer at the trade deadline, they sort of stood pat because of the fact that they didn't feel like they could give something up if they're not going to get into the playoffs. So I'm not sure if they – you know, saw the writing on the wall at trade deadline, Gord, that they felt that, you know, if we get in, we'll be lucky. If we don't get in, we've got some, you know, some areas we need filling. And one is Evander Kane. It's going to be interesting. He's not in the lineup supposedly tonight, a healthy scratch. What does that mean, and what does that mean next year or continues with Winnipeg?
Well, we will talk more about this when we come back, because interesting notes, and we'll talk about the future of Randy Carlyle as well at some point. I mean, that's really going to – these last four games are going to dictate a lot about whether the Leafs – how seriously they address it or not. But right now they're addressing the game tonight, last home regular season game. All the action on Sportsnet 590. The Fan will come back with one final half hour counting down to the puck drop. You're listening to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Rick Natras here at Air Canada Centre on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Get your chalk on. This is Toronto Maple Leafs hockey on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome to Air Canada Centre and Leafs Nation pregame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Gord Stellick, Rick Natras counting you down the final half hour before puck drop. Huge game for the Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the Winnipeg Jets. We'll hear from head coach Randy Carlyle later on. Also, Paul Maurice will reflect on some memories when he was the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Of course, now he's the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. David Alter will join us. We've got the status of Joffrey Leupold and other things as far as the game goes. And Rick Natras will have his three keys of the game. But on the Winnipeg side, Tim Campbell covers the Jets and the National Hockey League for the Winnipeg Free Press. And, you know, we kind of similarities, demanding Canadian markets. There was no demand for a while in Winnipeg. Just everyone loved having the team back. But I would think there's expectations now that aren't being realized and a little bit different pressure.
Well, I think you've nailed it. Gord, there's been the honeymoon. And now I think, you know, quite decidedly here this season, we've seen, you know, the demands of the fans and the unhappiness in a lot of ways. And you only have to look at, you know, the way things have really been at the MTS Center, I'd say, in the last 6-8 weeks with the team's goaltending situation. Yeah. Not maybe unlike the Leafs, with some different personalities and a lot of subpar performances. And, you only have to look on Twitter and the blogs and lots of stories in the newspapers and reports, radio talk shows. I mean, it's often and always about, you know, is Andre Pavlik good enough? Or the daily demand, you know, Al Montoya must play more. And, you know, it rages back and forth. The fact that everyone's talking like this now, I think we've seen the graduation to sort of real Canadian hockey market as opposed to just happiness all the time that the team's been back.
And we talked about that at the goaltending situation at the beginning of the year. We had two goaltenders playing outstanding considering how many chances were given up, and not only shots but actual scoring chances by the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they were both running real hard. When Bernier separated himself with Reimer, we saw how he handled it, or he's handled it. The disappointment is, I guess you could say, it's translated into not as great a game as he did have in the first two periods. But when we talk Pavlik and we talk Montoya, you're talking a big difference in goals against and save percentage. And why is it? Does it come down to contract? Is that what it is? Because they went after Pavlik, signed him to a pretty good deal. Is that a commitment by, you know, ownership? We're paying him, so let's play him. Or is it one goalie that much better than the other?
Well, yeah, I don't know. In their play this year, you'd be able to say one was a whole lot better. I mean, Montoya certainly has the better numbers. You know, it's been a product, in my eyes, that, you know, with either coach, when Claude Noel was coaching, and Paul Maurice has made no secret of the fact that he's a guy who's always loved to run his number one guy as hard as he can. So when he came to Winnipeg in mid-January, you know, after the change, I mean, he didn't make any promises that Al Montoya was going to see lots of games, or they'd give Al Montoya a quote-unquote tryout, you know, to see if he was better than they were using him. They just run Andre. I mean, for my money, the first season in Winnipeg and the lockout season last year, they ran Andre into the ground trying to get themselves into the playoffs. And had they made it, I think he might have been out of gas when they got there, but they ran him. I mean, he played some ridiculous number. I don't have it off the top of my head. 72 games worth of minutes in the first season he was there. I mean, the guy was so exhausted he didn't go to the World Championships. I mean, and then you talk about overtime and you talk about all the one-goal games and the pressure games they had late in that season. Lately, I wonder how he's doing. He stopped talking to the media on game days, which is just in the last 2 weeks, and that is not Andre's character. He's a friendly, sort of affable, very gregarious, easy to talk to. He'll strike you any day of the week, whether it's a 10-game winning streak or a 10-game losing streak, as a guy without a care in the world. A guy like that stops talking to the media on game days. What's going on with that? I don't really know. I think he's trying. He says he's trying to be more focused, but that would worry me, I think, in some respects, that now is he out of his comfort zone. What's going on there? I don't know, but he hasn't been great lately. And
last four games, yeah.
And now we're here in the games without any pressure. What's going to happen? But one thing's for sure, this debate is going to rage like a, they call it a tire fire sometimes in Winnipeg all summer. I can tell you it is.
Now, yeah. I don't know. You could probably take the rest of the show when we ask you, what's with Evander Kane? That's probably the hardest thing to answer. A guy that should be a healthy scratch from a guy that really is the face of the Jets in many ways.
All I can tell you is that I think there's something going on here within the team. His play has not been great.
No goals in 20 games, is that correct?
Yeah, he's got three goals. I'm quite sure it's three goals since Paul Maurice took over the team. In that time, Jacob Trouba has five. And we shouldn't be talking about these two players in the same context of offense or production. I mean, Evander has had trouble. They've had trouble finding who to play him with. The fact, you know, he had played a few games with Mark Scheifele when he came back from when Evander came back from his hand injury. He played a few games with Mark Scheifele, and there seemed to be something there. You could see Evander's the jump in his step, and you know Scheifele was really gaining some momentum, starting to be a really good NHL player, especially for a rookie. And then he got injured, and that was the end of his season, right at the beginning of March. And Evander, to me, they've tried to fit him on the third line, the second line. He's playing with other guys who are not as good as Mark Scheifele. He just doesn't seem to be a good fit for Brian Little, their number one guy. He's like a lost soul, and well, a lot of people think he should be good enough that he could pull those guys along. Like, why is it all about him being so hard to play with? Yeah. You know, can't he mesh and fit? It's been a hard thing, maybe a bit of bad puck luck. There are lots of circumstances, but and now something has gone on. I'm clearly within the team. I don't know if it's just his poor or his average play. You can't be the highest paid player on the team and be average, right? I mean, you guys know that very well. So beyond that, I don't have a hard answer for you. What's with Evander Kane? But it sure looks to me like he is going to sit this game out tonight.
Well, let's look at Mark Scheifele. You talked about that. The trade deadline comes in. He gets hurt, what, a couple days?
The night before. Yeah.
They were thinking about buying and going out and bringing in some depth, or if you want to call it, or whatever was available, another goal scorer. And then they make a decision after he's gone to stand pat. What did that mean to you?
Well, it meant to me, you know, when Kevin Cheveldayoff doesn't say much, or he doesn't give you much, you know, in terms of that. But on the day after the trade deadline was over, I mean, you have to believe them. They said they were trying to add. And what they were trying to add was a rental player. They didn't make a secret about it. And that's not like them. So that tells me, okay, at least they were looking to try to make it, to try to add a little bit, maybe to give this group some enthusiasm and a little bit extra. Scheifele goes down. Correct me if I don't get this right. I think it's a Tuesday night, and the trade deadline is Wednesday.
That's correct.
And so Wednesday morning, I mean, you can connect the dots. You got to think there's a few GMs out there that know what's going on, and then maybe the price goes up a little bit because you know somebody really needs something the next day. And Kevin Cheveldayoff, for whatever reason, put the brakes on it, said we're not paying that, and they decided to go with what they had. I think that, you know, the two things. The loss of Scheifele because he was contributing quite a lot. He made them a real two-line team, scoring-wise. And then the fact they weren't able to add anything, and they stood pat. You know, those two things were, in hindsight, which is always perfect, you know, probably were a big factor in their downward slide in March.
Well, it's still been a great story about hockey back in Winnipeg. It'll be better having more Canadian-based teams in the playoffs. I think they all cheer for each other nowadays. I think it's the kind of thing, you want your team to win, but you like all Canadian-based teams to make it to the playoffs. And I know that's certainly the sentiment I think a lot of Toronto fans have.
So you really think the folks around here are going to cheer for the Canadians, do you?
No, they want to beat the crap out of them in the playoffs, though.
Oh, right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
you want out of seven, we want at least one. If we've got to take one, we'll take that one.
And if you're a Jays fan, you want the Yankees in so you can beat them up.
I think.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with that.
I haven't totally lost my marbles. Just
I'm with that.
Tim, thanks very much for joining us.
Always, Tim, we can talk about pleasure. Gordon losing his marbles later. Okay.
You have a good time with
very
that.
Short conversation. Yes, Tim Campbell from the Winnipeg Free Press. We'll come back. Set up more of the action. Leafs taking on the Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stelick, Rick Natras on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Welcome back, Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stelick, Rick Natras with you. Leafs getting set to take on the Winnipeg Jets, of course, here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Coming up, we'll chat with David Alter in a few minutes' time. We'll also get Rick's keys to the game, but just saw Paul Maurice there on Hockey Night in Canada being interviewed by David Amber, and certainly a popular guy. He coached both the Toronto Marlies and the Toronto Maple Leafs for a number of
years. Quality guy.
Well, here he's going to reflect on not so much a Winnipeg memory, but a Toronto memory when it came to the final weekend of the season, getting in or not getting in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Here is former Leaf coach and now Winnipeg Jet head coach Paul Maurice.
Leafs down the hallway going into the final week of the season.
Is there anything going on here?
Does it remind you of anything familiar about a half a decade ago?
Well, I remember so clearly watching the shootout between New Jersey and Buffalo, and I knew the Jersey had clinched, and what was it, Wade Dubowitz, is that right?
Actually, the Islanders in Jersey.
Yeah, the Islanders, sorry, Wade Dubowitz in net. And in the game just prior, he poke-checked three of the guys. Yeah. And I knew that New Jersey hadn't shown video on that, right? They were already in, they didn't care. They show five clips and out you go and play. I knew we were in trouble. When the first poke check came out, we were in trouble.
Happy Easter Sunday.
Yeah, that was tough. That was a tough day.
Well, it was it. Just
a poke check.
Those kind of memories, and it poked them right out of the playoffs, the Toronto Maple Leafs, in that respect. And, of course, Paul Maurice there, the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. We chatted about that earlier, that he's going to be a guy that he's going to be a guy who's going to decide at the end of the season.
Family, right?
About coming back. The family, he's been in Columbus for quite some time. It's kind of a surprise. He just enjoyed it there. Never
played there.
Never
played, as far as I know, played there or coached there. And it's funny because we had that conversation. I forget, the name eludes me, of the reporter from that area that said Columbus is a surprise. That we know Nathan Horton was a guy that all of a sudden he wanted a backyard, so where are you going to sign? And everybody's like, he signed in Columbus, well, you know, coming off, you know.
About the quality of life. And Paul Maurice, a great example. He was doing media work up here in Toronto, so it's not a bad drive up. I mean, Doug McLean was there as well, and he talks about it. So that's going to be a decision. He did 1 year in the KHL and said, okay, that's it. I left my family back here. Wherever I go, they're going to have to come with me. So that's the decision. He calls it a kitchen table talk that they will make in the offseason. Why don't we take the break now? Because we'll come back. We'll find out from David Alter, get some ideas of the lines, get some sense about who's in, who's not in, as questions continue about Joffrey Lupo and a few others for tonight's game. And then we'll wind it up with Rick Natras's keys to the game for the Toronto Maple Leafs to beat the Winnipeg Jets. That's what's coming up. Leafs and Jets action. Don't tune the dial. Stay right here and stay right here. We'll be back with more Leafs Nation pregame with Gord Stelick, Rick Natras on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Your favorite place to hear the game. This is Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back. Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stelick, Rick Natras here at Air Canada Centre on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, getting set for the Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Winnipeg Jets tonight. David Alter, our man covering the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we're just seeing a little thing here for the Cleveland Clinic on the board. Johnny Bauer, Darcy Tucker. I understand even Rick Natras went through this. A lot of alumni did it. So they're talking about their health. They're looking pretty
good. Rich Peverly as well, of recent note.
Yeah, went through that as well. And, of course, we chatted earlier. That's going to be a game that they're going to the Columbus-Dallas game that they're going to replay will have playoff implications on both sides, that they're going to replay that game, a 1-0 lead for Columbus on that, and it's going to matter in the East and West playoffs that way. So we'll chat a bit about that. But meanwhile, we saw Joffrey Lupo out on the ice, David, and Randy said this morning he's going to test it out and see what gives, and probably we'll have to wait to hear Andy Frost say. But he looked good out there.
You know what? I think it's one of those things where he went out there. They're going to make that decision, but it's this time of year where points are at a premium. They really can't leave anything to chance. If he can go, I would imagine that they would do everything in the power to make him go. Everyone's got some sort of bumper bruise right now where they're just trying to tape themselves up and get going. Obviously, some injuries are a lot more severe than others. It was one of those situations where you hope the one game rest is enough to kind of give him what he needs to kind of get the maintenance under him. And Lupul's got a long history of injuries since he's been a member of the Maple Leafs. So you hope this is one of those things he could just kind of play through, and they're going to need him because points are, as we say, at a premium.
You're talking about guys that are playing hurt. It's interesting. You watched the game the other night against Boston, and you see a seat cushion, almost one you take to a football game that you weren't sitting in the good seats. You got it because it's got the back support on it. We saw JVR with that back support. So, I mean, it's pretty easy to conclude that he needs to stay upright, can't bend over, all those type of things.
Yep.
So he's a guy, like we talked earlier off air, David, it's like Lupul. If he's not dead, you're in the lineup.
Right.
That's pretty much
and
it.
And just look at Phil Kessel. He's the excellent example of that. You know that foot's hurting big time. And for whatever reason or another, he's going to do everything he can. He's been the Iron Man of this team. No matter how banged up or bruised he's been, he's played in every game. Everything that's been said about Kessel, that isn't said enough, that he comes to every game and he's been put through the rigors. But since that shoulder injury that delayed his season debut with the Leafs in his first campaign, where we had to wait till November, he hasn't missed a game since. So guys like
him and
like
Raymond
JVR
are the only two right now that have played 78 games.
Right. Guys like Kessel, well, Raymond, of course, but Kessel and JVR, they're key. They play more games than anybody else, given the Olympic break and whatnot, that you're going to need absolutely everybody here. So taking on a Winnipeg Jets team that doesn't have Evander Kane, it should be prime for the taking for the Maple Leafs to try and perhaps get that playoff spot. And just for the time being, temporarily, having that last spot will be a huge confidence boost in the room, even if it is only temporary.
Well, David, you're around the team, and we looked at Nazem Kadri's numbers, 11:30 last game, probably his lowest numbers,
right.
I mean, coming into his rookie year, and maybe the year after. Gets out there 4-3. I know there was questions about Phil Kessel being a little upset when, you know, the line change was made on the power play in the overtime. He's a guy, and it's a thing like Randy Carlyle said, and I said to Gord, he's out there and he's yelling, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't hooray. He was yelling like something in regards to Randy's name was something that added on to it. But what seems to be the issue the last couple games with Kadri not playing the minutes that he's been playing?
I think it's strictly the tightening of the team as a whole, and Nazem Kadri being the last of the crop to kind of follow suit. You follow that with the confidence that Randy has in some of his forwards to back check. Bodhi got career high in minutes, more than 3 minutes, more than his season or career high in minutes. But having that, they need back checkers. The games are getting tighter and tighter, and Randy Carlyle is going to go with the guys that he feels most confident in that situation to play the tight defensive games that you get in these final stretch of games here. And that's why it wasn't that much of a surprise that Kadri was utilized in the overtime situation.
Not at all.
There's nothing to lose at that point when you're playing 4-on-4. It's a free-flowing, different kind of earlier season type of game. Go for the extra point, not like it
go
is right now.
Go for the offensive guy, right?
Right, yeah. Go for the offensive people as opposed to now. But ever since they went to the 7 defensive system, you're seeing the decline of Nazem Kadri's minutes strictly because of A, the confidence that Randy Carlyle has in Nazem Kadri to back check, and B, the game's getting tighter and tighter, that you don't necessarily need the offensive guy there. You need the guys dominating the minutes for when the play is mostly in your end and you're trying to keep things towards the perimeter and the neutral ice.
I think the fans in any sport, you like to be the seventh fan on the ice. And with what happened the other night with James Reimer, and I think it was very genuine and heartfelt, and that was nice and appropriate, because if he does end up finished with the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's more the kind of reaction he should get for the work he's done the last couple of years. So it ended up from an imperfect scenario to almost a perfect scenario for him to take it and see what he can do with it.
It seems like only weeks ago we were talking about how James Reimer has played his last game as a Maple Leaf, and all the talk was already about that he was going to be moved, and that was it. It was pretty much that being the case. But what have we seen so many times over and over again with injuries? Anything can happen.
Never say never.
Guys can be thrust in the position. James Reimer was not supposed to be on the Leafs' radar for goaltending solutions when he came on in 2011 in that season and played 35 games. So James Reimer is the symbol of don't count all your eggs
In one basket, don't put them all in there.
And you just
all
really
your chickens
don't,
before they're hatched.
All their chickens yeah. before they're hatched and all your eggs thing, in right? one basket. But you just don't know. Because
don't get egg on your face.
Well, yeah. Well, there's a lot of different reasons.
Especially in radio.
Right.
Okay.
Well, in that situation, you just don't know. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, right now, he was the GOAT before, but now he's the hero again, and you just never know. Something else could happen right now where the focal point is switched away from James Reimer, for all you know. But this is his opportunity once again, and opportunity has struck him many times for a chance for him to have some success. No time like the present to really prove everything that you were saying when times were tough, which was he didn't think it was a question that he could be a number one goaltender. Where he gets another chance to prove that.
Let's hope he doesn't lay an egg tonight. That's what we're talking about here. Hey,
if he does, he puts it in the basket.
He certainly didn't. Thanks, David. We'll catch you postgame.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
David Ault, our man, covering the Toronto Maple Leafs. Brought to you by the Egg Marketing Board. We just did little plugs there. But, no, all the cliches and everything
but
else.
Don't burn any bridges, right? He could have very well got into a PM match with Randy Carlyle, and that could have just destroyed the dressing room and the relationship and the ability for him mentally wanting to play. And what he did was he took the high road like a true professional, and now it's time for him to take the high road and be the professional that we're hoping he can be.
Paul Ranger's another example, a different degree. And here you got a Winnipeg Jet team with a total apparent malcontent and Evander Kane. So you got your best player, big boy, too. So it's
not being a big boy.
Exactly. So we'll and that's a problem there. We mentioned on the Toronto Maple Leafs side that's been a positive. Time now for the keys to the game presented by your Toronto area Ford dealers. Thank you, Canada, for making the Ford F-Series Canada's best-selling line of trucks for 48 years.
Well,
what's
Gordon,
your best advice?
The best advice right now is to make sure you match the intensity. Winnipeg has been, you know, and Andrew Ladd is their captain, and he stated it would be feel really good now that we're not in contention for the playoff to knock Toronto Maple Leafs out of the playoffs. So you've got to match that intensity right off the bat. As we said, the intensity they brought forth, not so much against Calgary, but the intensity they brought forth against Boston they need to bring today. The second one is keep moving late in the game. That means with the lead. We're hoping they're going to go into the third period with a lead. Breathe, as we talked about, Randy Carlyle and myself, and keep your feet moving. Do the things that did gave you success when you had the 3-1 lead. When you stopped doing it, you saw what the outcome could be. So the last one is discipline third man high, not only in the offensive zone, but in the defensive zone. Gord, we talked about that third guy getting sucked down for no apparent reason. I've talked about the baby blanket where you could throw a small blanket over three guys. Well, the Leafs can't afford to do that. They need to, again, play the style, even though there was giveaways, to play the style that they did against Boston in the first 40 minutes. So the first one is match the Winnipeg's intensity. They want to eliminate the Winnipeg Jets. Don't give them the opportunity. Keep feet moving late in the game. Supposedly, hopefully with a lead, get your feet going, keep the game plan the way it was that got you to that success, and then discipline third man high at both ends. Don't get sucked in. We saw how Boston used that high slot between the dot or the top of the circle and the hash marks. That is the spot where everybody wants to go. You've got to take that away with supporting down low and certainly on the forecheck. Third guy, don't get caught, sucked in. If you can't get there at the same time as the puck, back out and make sure it's an even man rush for the opposition.
One thing we were chatting about earlier, we welcome James Van Riemsdyk to the 30-goal club. Phil Kessel's already there with 36 goals, but they haven't scored power play goals in about 20 games each. And about predictability of a power play that's been effective, but it's been a little bit more predictable, and they've been getting more 5-on-5.
Well, you know they want to give the puck to Kessel, and the difference between giving it to Kessel or an Ovechkin or a Stamkos over there is they one-time it. Phil's not a one-timer. He's a wrister or a snapshot guy. Unfortunately, that allows guys to get in position.
What we'll do is we'll turn the reins over to Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph for the play-by-play of this very important last home regular season game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Rick and I will be back for the intermissions, and then, of course, we'll be back right after the game for Leafs Nation postgame. Been pretty spirited talk postgames the last couple of weeks. Hopefully it's positive for the Toronto Maple Leafs if they can capitalize on the break last night, the Blackhawks defeating the Columbus Blue Jackets. Leafs Winnipeg Jets coming up next. You've been listening to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stelick, Rick Natras with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.